Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good all the time. We also know and are preaching on yet this day the truth that Jesus Christ gave us in three commands: love God, love others, and go. For in that we find the totality of the scriptures given unto us, that as we are loving God, we will be transformed by God, that we will love others as Christ has loved us, and we will go with the message of hope, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we have to, we'll speak. May the Lord bless this our day. As we come today to take in our next installment of It's Time for a Checkup, today, we're going for a strength checkup. Now, how many of you know what a strength checkup is? You know, I think it's funny because you're probably thinking, well, we go to the gym for that, right? No, you don't go to the gym for that. You go to the doctor and they put you on a treadmill. And they have you walk on this treadmill up the hill. And they got all kinds of monitors on you. They call that a stress test. How many of you feel like life is a stress test? Okay. How are you doing on that test? Is it going well, or are you still chugging uphill? Yeah, there are sometimes it feels that way. But God tells us in His Word, if you would, turn to the book of Mark. We are going to be in chapter 12. In the book of Mark, chapter 12, as I said, every week during this series, we're going to start with this scripture. So in Mark, chapter 12, beginning in the 29th verse, we read these words. And Jesus answered and said, "The foremost is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So in this, we are at the point where we are looking at loving the Lord our God with all our strength. And it is amazing to me what that means, because I'm going to tell you right now, I look up these words, and you know, if you're a good student of the Lord, and I know many of you are, and for those of you out there on internet land, I pray that you get yourself some commentaries, and you can do some internet searching, but you really got to watch what you do on the internet, because there's all kinds of weird stuff out there. So you got to make sure you're looking at some reputable things. And in Deuteronomy 6, that's where this scripture comes from. Jesus quotes this from Deuteronomy 6. And we need to remember that all of the Old Testament is the Word of God. Can I get an amen, church? Jesus quoted, everything that he quoted was out of the Old Testament, because that was his scriptures. The New Testament scriptures, which are also being written for the church, began during Christ's life. So as he repeated this from Deuteronomy 6, the word there from the Hebrew is translated as "your might." Love the Lord your God with all your might. And that word is me'od. Me'od, it means fortitude, intensity, fervor, passion, vigor, enthusiasm. I want you to think about what that means. It does not mean so much as your physical strength, but yet everything that is in you moving forward. Everything that is in you to bring forth that fortitude, to bring forth that passion, and make it a priority in life. The things that we want to do, we will struggle for. Can I get an amen? And that's a worldly amen. Because the things that we will struggle towards in this world, we'll put all our effort to. Whatever you're going to commit yourself to, you always find time for it, don't you? And that's the truth of the matter, because that means you're putting your might into it. That means you're putting your strength into it. And that's what God wants us to put into Him. He wants us to give that to Him. Now, how many times does our strength, does our might, does our passion fall short? Because it just seems like we just got to keep chasing this thing and we never catch it. That's because the evil one knows he can just keep pulling us along, never allowing us to achieve it. But one of the awesome things about God is he allows us to achieve it. And how do we achieve it? And that to me is one of the most amazing things, and I'll get to that in a minute. So I got to leave you with that question. So then I have to look at how Jesus spoke this parable, or spoke this piece of scripture. And Jesus spoke it in Greek. That's how it's written down. Actually, I believe when Jesus spoke this, because Jesus spoke Arabic, Arabic. So when he spoke it, he used a different word, but it's translated to us through the New Testament in Greek. Okay, so I have to look at the Greek word. And the Greek word there is iskous. Iskous. And it means ability, might, power, strength, forcefulness, literally or figuratively. So that means both your physical and all of your emotional, psychological strength. Everything going out from you. Jesus didn't make it less, Jesus made it more. That's one of the things I want all of us to understand. When Christ came, he did not lessen the gospel. He raised it back to the standard at which it was supposed to be set from the beginning of time. You see, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Adam had all the ability to defeat Satan. Did he use it? No. He took the easy way out. He took the easy way out. Rather than truly being the authority of God there on earth, he passed that authority right off to that which was coming against him. He had no idea what was happening to him at that time. He was naive. He was yet in innocence. We can no longer claim innocence because once you have been told, now you are no longer ignorant. Now you have been enlightened, and now it's your responsibility to grow. That's one of the things that we all have to know. Well, now does Adam have that excuse? No. Adam has the excuse the same way we do. God told him, don't eat from that tree lest you die. Can I get an amen? So we have to look at this thing all the way back. Adam stopped loving God with all his strength at some point in time. Adam stopped loving God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul for a piece of fruit. How many of us are falling to the same thing? It may not be a piece of fruit, but it's something in our lives. And God says, no, please don't do that, because when you do, you're surely going to fall. And we have to remember, you know, I have to think about our lives. You know, in different periods in our life, it's different things, okay? When you're a young individual, it's cars. It's having friends around you and being part of a group. It's that girlfriend or that boyfriend, or, you know, it can be any number of things. Then as we get a little bit older, it's a house, it's a job, it's a car again. You know, and then as we get a little bit older, you know, it can be our grandkids. It can be, you know, all these things change throughout life. But yet the precepts never change. That's one of the reasons you can call it a precept, because it's something that never changes. Well, now, wait a minute, you're talking about absolutes. Yeah, there are absolutes in this world. And I can absolutely tell you that God is in it for us. Can I get an amen, church? But are we in it for him? Are we loving him with all our strength? Because that's what we're dealing with today. So I have to ask you, what does it mean to truly love the Lord your God with all your strength? Well, I want you to think about somebody that failed mightily. Who am I talking about? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. And as soon as we get there and you start looking, you're going to be, oh, I know what this is all about. Yeah, we all know this story. You know, this is one that we learned in Sunday school, right? This is the one about Samson. Does anybody remember Samson? He was God's strong man, okay? And when we think about God's strong man, you know, one of the things that I think about is the fact that he used the jawbone of a donkey to slay 1,000 people. And man, I'm telling you, that guy could whoop up on some people, couldn't he? I mean, you know, this guy had power beyond himself. He had a strength. You know, we think about the strength in that manner. But what was his strength towards the Lord? Did he love the Lord, our God, with all his strength? No, he didn't. He became heady about himself. And he put women over men, over God. Excuse me, women over men. Oh, my goodness. He put women over God in his life. And literally, that became his downfall. And all of a sudden, this guy's in captivity because he let his secret be known. Where did his power come from? And it was used against him. And he attributed, I think this is funny, he attributed his power to his hair because he was a Nazirite. And if he didn't cut his hair, he would keep his strength. Now, I need to ask you all a question. You know, it says that in the Bible, right? So that means it has to be. Was his strength in his hair, or was his strength in God? This is something I really got to challenge us on. Because let's read this story from chapter 16, verse 21 to 31. From 21, I got to flip a page here. From 21 to 31, thus saith the word of the Lord. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes, and they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains, and he was a grinder in the prison. However, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us." It so happened when they were in high spirits that they said, "Call for Samson that he may amuse us." So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hands, "Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them." Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And about 3,000 men and women were on the roof, looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested and braced himself against them, the one on his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bent with all his might so that the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than those whom he killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him, brought him up, and buried him between Zor and Eshtol in the tomb of Moanah, his father. Thus he had judged Israel 20 years. I want you to think about what just happened there, what just transpired. When you and I read this story and we see that Samson's hair started to grow back, and all of a sudden he got his strength back. No. What did Samson do? He prayed. He went into the face of the Lord and he humbled himself one more time. And he said, "Oh God, remember me and grant me my strength once more." You and I need to understand, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Samson was in a place where he was bound. This strong man was bound and put to the grinding wheel that he had to grind for these people. He could not see any longer. He was led by a little child. I want you to think about that. Here's this big, mighty man being led by a child. And they brought him in so they could laugh at him and mock him. And he said, "Oh God, remember me. Grant me my strength once more, that I may take vengeance for my two eyes." You see, Samson could see before, but now he was really seeing. As a blind man, he knew where his hope came from. It wasn't in his locks. It was in his God. for the Holy Spirit come upon him at that time, and he did this thing. You and I need to understand that when we are in the midst of the hardest troubles that Satan will throw at us, that the world is going to throw at us, knock us down, laugh at us, and be amused by us, that we are not to call upon anything else. There is nothing in all of creation that will save us. Say the name of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? That means we need to persevere. We need to continue on no matter how hard things get, no matter how difficult things look, no matter where they seem to be leading. When we think we're on that desert road, you better realize that on the other side of it is an oasis called eternity. And in that place may we be found. Can I get an amen, church? But the question is, along that road, who are we going to call or who are we going to blame? I need to think about the Israelites as they were walking 40 years in the desert. Whose fault was it that they were walking there for 40 years? Was it God's fault or was it their fault? Why are we where we are now? Is it our fault? Yes. And I speak that to the church because we shut our mouths because we were told to. And I hate to say it, but we were told to from the pulpits. And now I'm saying to you, and I have been saying to you for years, it's time to speak with your life and with your words. We need to share the truth of our hope. We need to walk in those places of perseverance where we need to stand up because there are people that need hope. Can you see it in this world? There are so many people hurting right now. There are so many people questioning, why is this happening? What is going on? We know what's going on. The evil one is turning everyone inward, turning everyone to self. And we have got to begin that process of turning things back out and reaching out because God has created community. God has created a kingdom. And it is here now on earth, and it is alive, and it is well, and it is in each and every one of us who are in Christ Jesus. Are we going to walk in that? Are we going to be found in that? Are we going to live that hope that we have? And that's going to mean perseverance. It's not going to be easy. In fact, it's going to be kind of tough because the world is going to come against us. You know, I love when we go out on our prayer walks. How many times do we go out on these prayer walks and we knock on the door and we ask the people, how are you doing? You know, we're here to pray with you. We're from your local church, you know, local church here in your community, and we just want to pray with you. Can we pray with you? And they say, oh, no, we're doing good. How many of them are struggling with bank accounts? How many of them are struggling with jobs? How many of them are struggling with help, with health? And yet they won't say anything. Why? Because the world has told them to shut up, internalize everything, just make it look good. You know, I think about that when I come to church every Sunday. I used to wear a three-piece suit. Y'all that know me for any length of time, you all remember when Pastor would wear his $700 suits to church. Of course, I never paid $700 for one of them because my mom worked at the clothier and they were all returns. So I was picking them up for $35 a pop. That's pretty good business if you're a pastor. You see, what am I getting at here? Sometimes when life is tough, you got to take the little bit lesser traveled road. And we all know what that little lesser traveled road is. There's a wide road and it leads to destruction, but there's a narrow road and few are found on it and it leads to life. But that means we have to persevere on it. That means we have to look for it. We have to walk on it and stay on it. Because, man, that highway looks good with all those people out there on that thing. And, you know, maybe we ought to be over there. No. We need to get some off-ramps off of that thing over here to where we are. Because this road leads to life. And it's not going to be easy. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me. Turn in your Bibles with me. And we are going to Hebrews chapter 10. This is right before the faith chapter. Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to be in verses 32 through 39. Because I want us to remember, Samson called upon the name of the Lord. Samson remembered the Lord, and he asked the Lord to remember him. In his time of struggle, in his time of need, he didn't quit, he didn't bow down. He moved forward, committing that which was left of himself unto the Lord, even unto his death. And that's where we need to walk. From chapter 10 in the book of Hebrews, beginning in the 32nd verse, we read these words. But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done all the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul. Did you just read that with me? You and I are not to shrink back. We are going to go through trials and tribulations. We're going to go through sufferings. We're going to go through a lot of things that are going to challenge us. How many of you are going through some things right now that are challenging you in life? It is life. But are we going to stop? There are times that we wish we would, and some of you probably hate it when pastor shows up and you know you're in one of those positions, because you also know pastor's going to help you walk forward. If I have to lead you by the hand, kicking and screaming. Because forward means we win. Stopping is defeat. And I will not accept that, and neither will the Lord. Why? Because we are not of those who shrink back. We have got to remember what has been told to us. We have got to remember what was told to Timothy. When Paul spoke to Timothy, he said, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." You and I must persevere. That is to love the Lord your God with all your strength, to persevere forward. Well, what happens when we do that? Because this is the part that answers the question that I gave you when I began. What gives us this strength? Because I'm going to tell you right now, it is outside of each and every one of us to continue in this manner. You and I don't have the wherewithal. We are going to quit. We're going to pull the sheets up over our head, and we're going to be on antidepressants for the rest of our lives. But that is not what God has called us to. Can I get an amen? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 5. And you all know this scripture, and I pray that God will bring it to your remembrance more and more often as we go through these months, weeks, years that are ahead of us. We don't know when Christ is coming back, but we just read that He is coming back. Didn't we not just read that from the book of Hebrews? He is coming. And how is He going to find us when He comes? He says in His Word, "When I return, shall I find faith?" What does that mean? Are we persevering in the strength of the Lord? Are we persevering in loving God and loving others and going with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Are we persevering in showing that we have no shame in the cross of Calvary, for our righteousness is in the redemption of an empty tomb? And in that, our hope is secure, for Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. From the book of Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. And He will exalt in hope, and we will exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You and I need to understand, again, from Timothy, we have not been given a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. One of the greatest acts of self-discipline is knowing you don't give up. We are soldiers of the cross, and the battle is already won, but we have got to get to the end of this thing. When we look at the book of Revelation, how many times in the book of Revelation and several other places throughout Scripture does it tell us to persevere to the end? Not three quarters of the way, not half the way, not seven eighths of the way, all the way to the end. And when we persevere, when we continue to love God with all our strength, He gives us the strength of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is far more capable than any of us is capable. And He will bring us to that end. It's all about Him. Are we going to love Him? When we look at Samson, all the way back to our first example today, Samson was at the end of his life. He was going to die in that grinding room. If I'm going to die, why not die in the Lord rather than die in my own disgrace? And that's exactly what he did. He gave himself and he said, Lord, remember me one more time. He knew he had done wrong, but he was able to go back. We need to remember that God wants us to come back. He is not a God of vengeance. He is a God of love, a God of mercy. He is a God that will give and give and give and give. But we have to make ourselves available to Him, and that means to love Him, to put ourselves in His hands and allow Him to give us the strength, the hope, and the love that will push us, yes, push us into that place of eternity. Because without that push, and I mean it's a push, none of us will see eternity. And I'm so grateful that God is willing to push, but we've got to be willing to submit to Him because He is not an oppressor. He will let us do what we want to do or not do, but yet He is there that if we will call upon His name, He will bring us through. Can I get an amen? You know, I think about how many times in my life I have failed. And if any of you are like me, you can literally count more failures than you can successes. But do you know what every one of those failures taught me? It taught me that no matter how short I fall, God never does. Because He's the one who always picks me up, dusts me off, and says, now, let's try that again. And it's so amazing because I may fail the next time, and the next time, and the next time. But when this life is over and I've failed as many times as I'm going to fail, I know there is yet in store for me one last victory. And that victory has nothing to do with me except for me being willing to say, yes, Lord, I'm going to try. And not letting go. Because that victory is not in me. That victory is in Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen, church? He finished the work. We just have to believe it and keep going. Keep going. And we will receive the victory. And I'm going to tell you right now, you know, I'm talking on an eternal matter. But how about here in life? Can we receive some of the victory now? Yes. I look at my life now compared to what it was. And I'm telling you, I have victory after victory after victory. But unfortunately, all our world wants us to do is focus on the failures. How many times do we feel like we're a failure? How many times do you feel like you're a victory? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, every day you open your eyes, you're a victory because you got another day to go. Every time you close your eyes at night, you've just had a victory. So you're winning at least twice a day if you're still breathing. That's not pretty bad, is it? I want you to think about that. And if God is willing to be there for you every day, are you willing to be there every day for God? I think about the disciples. I want you to think about the disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "Can't you stay awake with me 1 hour? Where did he say that, folks? He was in the garden, wasn't he? What was happening for him at that moment? He was fighting the fight of all our lives. Do you realize that? And he asked the disciples, just pray for me for 1 hour. And they couldn't do it. They fell asleep. Why couldn't they do it? 1 hour. Come on. He's fighting for all our lives. Why couldn't they do it? Because the Holy Spirit was not in them yet. Is the Holy Spirit in you? He has given you all the power of life. But you have got to channel it through yourself. And yes, I'm using New Age terminology. Because where do you think they got it? Because God channels His power through human beings. And so does the demonic. But we have the power unto life. They have power unto death. And in that life, when we think of where these men were, they couldn't pray for 1 hour without the Holy Spirit. While Jesus was praying for all our lives, and he accepted that cup. How many of you are willing to accept your cup? I am now, because of Christ in me. I know what my cup is. My cup is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the church and unto the nations. And that's what I've given my life to. It's called a call. I've been called, set apart. You've been called. Each and every one of you have been called and set apart. Are you going to answer that call and walk loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength? Because as we do, God will transform us, that we will become something more. Something that needs to be reckoned with, and someone who literally looks as Christ in this world, the hope of things unseen, but yet perceived. Today, I'm going to speak something here. Wendell, you and I talked some time ago. We have our men's retreat coming up. And you made the comment you hate the word retreat. And as I was preparing this sermon and working through it, I said, Lord, you know, we're supposed to love you with all our strength. We're not supposed to retreat. Well, what's a men's retreat? Isn't that a time where we go to be trained up and to be fostered and to grow in our strength and fellowship and gaining that which is needed? Because I'm going to tell you right now, Samson did this alone, but we're the church and we're not supposed to do it alone. We have found a different way. We have found a better way. It's called the New Covenant. And all of a sudden I said, well, Lord, you know, if we're not supposed to call it a retreat, and, you know, so we called it revitalization, right? And God says, no, I already have a word for it. You're just missing it, Pastor. Guess what that word is, folks? And I wrote it down here. Sanctification. Sanctification. We have been sanctified by God. What does that mean? We have been empowered by God. We have been given a special ability to do something far greater than ourselves. We have been sanctified, in other words, set aside. Was not Jesus set aside? Yes, he was, wasn't he? Was not Samson set aside? Yes, he was, wasn't he? How about Moses? How about David? I want us all to remember, each and every one of us have been sanctified, and it is that sanctification working out in each and every one of our lives. And you all know what I teach about sanctification. It's called what? Progressive sanctification. So as you make yourself available to it, so too is it made available to you. Because as you walk in it, this is how you grow in strength. You don't go to the gym. You practice what you preach. And you get yourself into those situations where you are being stretched. That this thing of difficulty that is holding me back is merely a trap and I've already won the victory in Jesus Christ. I just have to appropriate it. Can I get an amen, church? So I want you to think about where you are. You are sanctified by God, and in His sanctification, may you walk with the love of your heart, the love of your mind, the love of your soul, and the love of your strength. Because as you do, you will turn to loving others, because you're going to realize those others were you. Can I get an amen? And together we shall go with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Pray with me this day, church. God, we come before you with mighty blessing in our hearts, because we know that we fall short. We fail all the time, but you never fail. You always pick us up. You lead us on. And as we walk in you and in your strength, we will prevail over all the darkness of this land. We abolish the lies this day of the evil one, and we hold fast to that love which truly empowers us, your Holy Spirit, that we may be men and women of faith and walk therein by the grace given us through the salvific work of your Son, our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And the church says, and amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.